Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to talk about financial gravity. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Plum Investment Group. Guys, do you have a property that you need funding for? Plum Investment Group is your solution. Plum helps land investors grow their business by funding your raw land purchase. It's truly an awesome deal, guys, and just to be clear, this isn't a loan. Plum will actually partner with you by putting up the money for your project. So do yourself a favor, go check out the website. It's www.pluminvestmentgroup.com.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
Right now, I should be in Canadian airspace. Since we're doing, I can tell the future.
Well, you are. Yeah, you're called in the podcast from your airplane.
Yeah, from my airplane, flying mm-hmm. over the United States into Canada.
Right Such now. Good quality. It's amazing. You must be flying private.
Yeah, I'm a land investor. So you know how we get down? We hang $100 bills on our wall.
Yeah, I actually heard some people talking about private flights the other day. Uh-huh. And do you know how much it cost?
I have a friend that has a jet.
But does he tell you how much it costs? It wasn't the.
He told me he spent $250,000 last year, but he goes a lot of places.
Yeah. So the per hour flight per hour cost is between $5,000 and $15,000 per hour. So mm-hmm. if you went on a 2 hour flight and then you got to come back home, so that's 4 hours, you could spend
$60,000. Wow. He flies to Hawaii a lot and Vegas a lot.
Yeah. That's outrageous. Even if you were on the low end, right?
Yeah, but normally those guys, they own fractional ownership. And then they do take some people like, hey, we're going to go to this, that are also part owners. And so some of them I fly together.
Yeah, I get that. But then some people don't.
Yeah.
And so if you're on the low end, $20,000 for a 4 hour flight, I better be making so much money that it's just pouring. Like
you put your name on the plane, Mike.
Yeah.
I got my name on. I got 10X on my back wing.
I'm okay showing up to the airport an hour early and sitting where I need to sit.
Well, you need to be there a lot earlier than an hour now. It's like last time I went, I was an hour early. I was like, they're like, well, we've already booked the flight, sir. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's an hour. So luckily there was a flight an hour later.
Oh, I'm an hour. I'm way too anxious to be there an hour early.
Anyway. I got to wake up like 5 hours early.
I want to be there and have lunch or dinner before and just to know.
Yeah. My flight for Canada is at 6 a.m. and it's at Dallas Love Field.
Mm.
Yeah. It saves some money though. It was like, it's a little bit farther than DFW, but the cool thing about where I live, I can call all the way through like back through the back roads off 67 and it takes me like it's like 5 miles longer, but in rush hour traffic, it'll save me 30 minutes.
Well, that's cool. I don't love, what are you flying, Southwest?
I have no idea. Mm. I have one stop in like somewhere. Mm.
I always have a beef with Southwest.
What's wrong with you and Southwest?
So I had the option to upgrade to first class.
Okay.
So I took it.
Uh-huh.
And then Southwest doesn't have assigned seats. Right?
And so
I get on the plane, uh-huh. which was where they picked us up in Dallas, was a connecting flight.
Uh-huh.
So everyone that was continuing on from
just
that part
scooted up
because there's no assigned seats. They took all the first class seats.
How can they do that though?
No assigned seats. And it's not, there's no wall that separates it, right? So uh-huh. it was just bigger or whatever. I don't know. And so I walk on the plane and I'm like, huh. And so because I was, maybe it wasn't first class, maybe it was whatever their
business class,
whatever their top was, right? Okay. You get on the plane first.
Uh-huh.
And so I walk on the plane, I'm like, every seat is taken.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that was like 8-10 years ago. Trust me, that beef is still there.
You know what I would happen to me? Hashtag Southwest. I would probably get thrown off the plane. I'd be like, my ticket says first class. One of you are moving. Sir, sit down. No, I am not sitting down. I would be that guy.
Yeah, I was just 2 hour flight. I'm sitting there going,
fuming the whole time as you get your free bag of nuts in your little, I love those little cookies, those little Biscoff cookies. And I'm just like, oh,
yeah. So anyway, that's my beef.
Well, it's Friday. Oh, man. So what happens usually on Fridays for people?
For people, they go. They get off work and they start the weekend warrior stuff.
Okay. Or you get paid. Fridays, paydays.
You do get paid.
So,
yeah.
Let's talk. So last week I was on Finance Friday with Land Academy crew, their podcast. And it was nice because we actually got our start. I did some Finance Friday stuff with them when we opened Plum. And we had the idea of doing a podcast, and we said, you know what, let's get into this podcast thing. So it was kind of our first taste of podcasting. And so last week I'd mentioned the term financial gravity. And I think that's it really sung to me, and I feel like it would sing to a lot of us if we actually understood it. Because like after I heard it, I tried Googling it, and there's nothing on this term anywhere else. So I don't know if this guy just said it, and when he described it, it just really just struck home to me. But financial gravity, in just a simplified term, is making decisions determined about your financial needs. So like the gravity or the pull because of your financial strains or whatever that is determines how you make decisions in your life. Mm. And it's kind of deep. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, how it layers over is in our businesses. And, you know, we are business owners. We mm-hmm. are entrepreneurs. We are people taking a chance, putting our hard-earned money to work to try to grow this wealth or this nest egg. And sometimes it kind of gets in the way of what we do and how we do it.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm glad we're talking about this because finance is like one of my favorite things to talk about.
Yep.
I love talking money. I love talking finances. I love talking watching your finance, you name it. So I'm all about it.
Yeah. And so like I lay it over. You know, earlier this week, we did talk about neutral letters and the amount of money that went out for some of those. And if the people weren't using a product that was the cheapest, you know, just a change like that, you know, if they're paying 70 cents and we got them down to 59 cents because they're not members with offers to owners or whatever their place they're going to go. I mean, that 11 cents, what does that do for that 27,000 pieces of mail that went out?
Yeah.
That's a chunk of change. You know, that's buying a 10-acre property at $250 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
It's little tweaks like that. Or, you know, we talked about for us, we gave the million-dollar business idea on Monday, that the landlocked property, you know, a consulting client, I told him to pass. He goes out and reaches out to the neighbors all around it, gets a deal, and strikes it because they know that property already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about doing that with our Arkansas property. The people that follow the Coffee Money Real Estate Investing, you know, they use those little things and use the neighbor letters there, and it works because those people know the property. So it gives you a good basis to work with. But the big thing for me is like when I see somebody send out a piece of a mailer campaign and they go, it has to work because I'm done at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary to me because now they're letting their fear or their financial need dictate it. And it's true. It takes money to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a valid point in that. And how can you shift that mindset?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, so the whole idea here really resonates with me, right? Because in business, you just have to like make the best decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're so worried about money,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to really focus in on that.
No, you're exactly right.
You know, there's some people that just like we were talking earlier, some people are so worried about money that they don't even want to look into their checking account.
Yeah.
So like, how do they make the best decisions for them, for their family, for their business, for growth, for anything when you can't even keep an eye on it?
No, you're exactly right. And that's one of the things and it gets to different shifts in your mind. And so like, I feel that there's different stages, you know, there's that first part where you're using every dollar you can to make your business successful. Then you hit a shift and you're like, hey, I've got a little bit of success here. Now I can take a little bit bigger risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, we talked about being bougie and buying these $20 million ranches and things like that. And so does a $10,000 place still get your blood boiling after you've done a couple million-dollar deals? And, you know, it should, but that shift happens. And it may not excite you as much. It's just out of your peripherals. It's not in your thought process. Your risk tolerance is so high now that the number's just numbers on a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm. I think on the other end, too, though, it should, like, if you're just starting, what should get you excited and get you going is running the most streamlined business you can by like, you know, instead of spending 75 cents per mailer,
mm-hmm.
finding someone that does 59 cents.
Mm-hmm. Always test it.
Yeah. Or, you know, if check the tools you have. Do you really need that $200-$300 a month CRM when you're just starting? Like if you have access to Google Sheets or Excel, like do you need all that?
Yeah. And some people will make you believe that you do. And I'd question their motive.
Well, their motive is to
sell you that CRM.
Yeah. Which I don't knock that because that stuff is valuable,
yeah.
Right? But when you are brand new and you go buy all this stuff and now you have no deals, you're stressed about money, mm-hmm. but it costs you $1,000 a month to keep your business running.
Yep. What are you going to do?
Yeah. When all that money could go into a mailer mm-hmm. or two. Let's say, you know, if you're spending $1,000 a month on tools and you've only got enough money to spend on one mailer, well, why not, what's the word I'm looking for, like bootstrap it
yep.
and do two mailers?
Yep. I think to me that's like one of the biggest missed opportunities. can you build a business bootstrapped, or can you build the Kia? Can you build the Ferrari? And what does it look like? You know, there's a lot of parts in my business that I'm straight Kia. I got a 100,000-mile warranty. I pay $199 a month, and I'm living the dream.
Okay.
And there's some things that I buy that are Ferrari.
I'm pretty streamlined right now. Like, the size of business we're running and what we do, like, mm-hmm. it's very affordable to keep my business going.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, like, finances are, like, one of my favorite things, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly watching it, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to get it out of hand. You know, it's really easy when you run a business, get your expenses, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, way on up there.
Uh-huh.
And then imagine all the business you got to do just to keep that going.
Yep. Hashtag plastic lamp.
That's
plastic white lamp.
Let's put a new battery in that thing. It works now.
Yes. His lamp is on the desk. It's always right next to me while we do our podcast, and so it's bright as can be. It's like, it's your future, son. It's your future's looking bright now. He recharged his battery. He's doing good.
That is true. Yeah, that thing will never go away. If you don't know what we're talking about, there was a time in my life I was broke, and this little 4x4 dome light was the only light I had.
Is that 4 inches?
I don't know. It's just a guesstimate.
You've been lying to your girlfriend.
It barely does anything. Let's put it that way. You're going to take, like, feel like no matter what I say, you're going to twist this right now. So it's a lamp. It's a dome.
You just push the button.
Yeah, push the button and go.
I think it's a great story because we all have those times and places. And I've said it, you know, while we may talk about, like, oh, Plum did this for our clients, or we did that, and we were able to buy these or do this, and we have quite a bit of money out working right now, we still have to feed our family. You know, mm-hmm. that's we have to turn our money back. So while it may feel like, oh, we're in a little bit better place, our mind shift, we can take some chances and try some new projects and do that. But the end goal is still to feed the family and buy property for less than what we paid for it and sell it for more. And I mean, I remember times of having $6 in my checking account going, how am I going to get gas right now? And it's a cool thing for me is that my wife has been with me through all of that. And so whether it was go to work for the railroad, put my head down and work for 14 years and amass everything I could there, you know, not taking off, working, taking my raises into 401k, you know, saving that stuff, investing in it, because land business is not the first business I've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not first business you've done.
Mm-mm.
We've had businesses together, and, you know, a good business for us was making a couple $1,000s.
Mm-hmm. Revenue.
Yeah. I mean, and there was times that, you know, we had a supplement company, and it supported itself. And it made a little bit of money every month, but it took so much inventory.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about Amazon, where we've done that together. And, you know, we've had some good moments in there. But at the end of the day, it made a couple $1,000s.
Mm-hmm. And we were being smart about that money, too, though. You know, you got to reinvest, just like the land business, mm-hmm. right? You make that money, you reinvest. You don't go buy the new truck or shiniest thing you can, right? And then you got to make smart decisions, too.
Why'd you look at my Raptor when you said that? Out the window.
I cannot. The only thing I see out a window is a brick wall.
Okay, I thought you were looking at my truck out there when you said shiny truck.
No, maybe that's just your conscience. I don't know.
It is a little more truck than I need, but it falls in a different class, so I write it off in taxes a little bit differently.
Okay.
Thank you, CPA.
So, I don't know. I forgot I was going with that. You interrupted me.
I do that a lot.
So, okay. Your turn.
You said you reinvest it, and you go back, and, you know, we were smart about that money, and we bought. So, we started with one product. We invested our money. It turned into three products. And then it was like, hey, Justin, I want to do land. And I'm like, cool, we're doing land together. And then you said, no, I'm doing it by myself. But you could do it too. And so then that's how this thing started 3 years ago.
And a half. Oh, no. Yeah. No. Mine was April. Yours was May.
Yeah, no, September. So again, our decisions were made by just putting our head down, going to work, working a 9-to-5 or whatever your hours were. Mine were on call 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And any of the little bit extra money we put back that we could play, we could afford to play with. It mm-hmm. wasn't about, you know, you hear these stories on Instagram where these guys are like, I cashed in my 401k and I went all in and now I'm the hottest entrepreneur in the world. Mm-hmm. And then you really look at their stuff and it's crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's fake followers. You know, they got 400,000 followers on Instagram and they get 50 likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not an engaged audience.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think that's the whole kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the whole kind of point of this is, right, is you need to make the decisions with your finances to grow your business properly and mm-hmm. to live the kind of life that you need without overspending in either place
mm-hmm.
and making the, so that you can have room for growth and build that life you eventually want.
Yeah, and the another thing I want to add to that, and you're exactly right, Adam, is that this thing is not a sprint. Like, it's not something that happens in, you know, hey, I'm going to make your first $100,000 in 30 days. There is no way that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
unless you just you're one of the one in 1 million people. Nick, we've talked about Jen, and we're following her story. She has bought her property. She's got them in from the state like last week. And so she sent out her neighbor letters. So she'll start hearing back this week on those. She has one property listed. Another one's still in closing because of death certificates. We're waiting on those. They should be in this week or next. And we'll close on that property. And then she'll list it. So she's 25 days on the market with her first property. She's got eight properties going out to neighbors right now. Then they'll start marketing those. And then another one's another 2 weeks out. We talked about her back in March.
I don't really remember.
Well, we did the. She came to the live event. She won right before that for our 10th episode. And so then she did her first mailer right after that. So mid-March, let's call it, she sent out her first mailer. Beginning of April. And now we're coming into June. And she's got property on the market, but it's not like an overnight thing. And she has done it extremely financially savvy. So right now she's out a mailer, but she's got property and inventory. Her total cost in the thing was a mailer right now. So, yeah,
but she's about to get all that back from
She's got a
eBay property.
She's got a $10,000 property that she's going to have $6,000 in, and then she's got a $25,000 property that's already got somebody that wants to buy it. He's just waiting for the deed for us to get it. So, you know, that's, so she's got the money coming back in. So it's there, but that financial decision, like some people would freak out in that situation. She's living her life doing it, and as she needs to tackle those things, she's doing that. You know, this is, so when this all comes back around, 4 months now, if it'd be 4 months into it, 5 months into it, she's going to be probably $15,000 richer and ready to do again.
Yeah, there's definitely a snowball effect to it, right? You get started with just an idea, and then you start mailing, and then you also gain more education. So you're gaining, first you gain property and knowledge, and then you start gaining property, money, and knowledge. And then like you just keep developing and growing, and hopefully you're making smart moves, and then all of a sudden you're the...
I feel like you almost made a rap song right there.
What?
Property, knowledge. Property, money, knowledge.
Wow.
Property, knowledge.
Yeah.
I could put a beat behind it if you want.
I would prefer not. No.
Like a remix.
No.
It's the land remix.
Yeah. If no. If anything for me, it would probably be a country song, but not.
A country song. Yeah. I'll get you a guitar. Have you seen my property and knowledge?
Okay. I think I can get behind that one.
Start playing. It's a three chord song.
Okay. Should we call it there?
No, I don't think we should. Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
No,
we're going to call it then.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think the major point is if you got to do this scared, there's going to be a piece of fear in you. Like, I'm still nervous about new decisions that we do every day, whether it's a, hey, Justin, let's do a big subdivider, let's mail 500 acres and above, or, you know, there's a certain tingle in fear. Right now, we kind of, for my business, we're kind of in a couple different things that we've got some feelers out, and we're trying to do some projects that we want to be able to teach about later. And so we are trying some things that kind of off the cuff and the like, it's not really being talked about, and it's got me that nervous feeling. And I know when that nervous feeling comes on for me is that it's supposed to be really good. Like it's like the cusp of the big wave, and I'm about to ride the wave back into the beach and look like a rock star. But I have fallen. I'm not a surfer. I'm kind of top heavy. If you've ever seen a picture of me, I'm not like your typical surfer dude. So sometimes you fall in the water, but the rush is all the same.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So that was a good talk today. Hopefully you liked it. Do us a favor, go to Facebook, go to Instagram, give us a like, give us a follow, and then, most importantly, as always, go to Stitcher, go to iTunes, give us a like, give us a follow, subscribe to the show, everything you can. Like it, rate it, subscribe it. We love you for it. We hope you have a great weekend. We hope you buy some property, sell some property, and we'll see you Monday.
See you next week.